Jacksonville, Florida. It's time for another Hour of Power with Apostle Kimberly Daniels. Get ready for a 60-minute experience that will change your life forever.
God, we thank you for the members of this church. We thank you for the partners. God, we thank you for the intercessors, the commanders of the morning, the Word Bible College students, those that are on Midnight Cry, and God, those who partner and connect with us in any way. God, we thank you that the airways are clear for the word to replenish. And we thank you, God, that you will give us a revelation of what you are saying to the church in this time and at this hour. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Go ahead and put it on the screen again. Replenish. Come on, put replenish. Put Genesis, the 9th chapter, the 1st verse says, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish. Y'all know Genesis 1 and 28. I always talk about how God blessed Adam and Eve. He baraked them. And on the inside of that word, barak, is the blessing and the curse. Choose this day whom you're going to serve. And God blessed Adam and Eve. And he said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And guess what? Subdue it. Okay? Come on, put the word subdue. The land is subdued. Subdue it and have dominion over it. Okay? I really didn't get to, because I was busy doing some community stuff this morning that I had to do that was life or death. So I really didn't get to get down into this word like I wanted to. But guess what? I have a word for you from the Lord. God told Noah and his sons in Genesis 9 and 1, be fruitful, multiply, replenish. God told Adam and Eve in Genesis 1 and 28, be fruitful, multiply, replenish. But there was a couple of more words that came in. We need to pay attention. Subdue it and have dominion. Come on. Subdue and have dominion. You know, my children, they take everything so serious, you know. On Mother's Day, when we were young, I used to teach them about the land is subdued. And so whenever my children run into a tough situation, they would say the land is subdued and the land must yield her increase unto me. So I want you to put that on the screen. The land is subdued. The land is subdued. Put that on the screen. We used to go to the restaurants and they said, listen, we ain't taking nobody else. My boys was greedy. And on Mother's Day, they know it's going to be a special treat of a dinner. So we get there late, going to church. Y'all know we got to serve and we got to do the church thing. And we done forgot to get our reservation. It's on Mother's Day. The boys look like they got tears in their eyes. And we get to that front door of Ruth Chris, where y'all know everybody trying to be at. And the twins would turn around, and I knew what they were doing with their mouth, saying, the land is subdued. And God is my witness. Because I said, y'all, come on. They said, they ain't got no seats. We ain't got no reservation. We got to go. The twins, no, the land is subdued. And somebody would jump out their back and say, excuse me, I have a seat for you. Come on. They be saying the land is subdued when they want a parking space at the if we rushing and it's a Christmas rush and they wanted to get something out of the store, or if it's a holiday, they be all in the parking lot talking about the land is subdued for a parking space. So we got some more serious things than dinner reservations or parking spaces, because the Bible says wherever the soles of your feet shall touch, according to your coast, the land is subdued. The land belongs to you. The centrifugal forces of God is in the bottom of your feet. And believe you me, the earth recognized, Mother Earth, the womb of the earth recognized when the anointing steps on it. Ooh, somebody ought to get real happy right now. I praise God for that young man. The devil tried to take his life. I don't know what happened in that jail cell in the wee hours of the night. But we say, Lazarus, come forth. We decree and declare that that young man will live and not die. The land of that prison is subdued. The land of that hospital is subdued. Come on, there's some serious stuff that we need to decree and declare. Listen, instead of walking around despondent and discouraged because things didn't seem to go the way you thought they were going to go, decree and exclaim. Come on, get that exclamation mark and say, the land is subdued. Yep, Genesis 9 and 1 and Genesis 1 and 28. God said, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish. I want to talk about the difference in all of that. First of all, replenish, put this on in your notes. To replenish means to fill something up again. Because it has that word re on the as the prefix, it means to do it again. Come on, go ahead and shout and praise him and say, God is gonna do it again. And for those of you who already got your blessing, say, God has done it again. Woo! That's what I was saying this morning when they told me that young man was still breathing and still had breath. Listen, we got to begin. We're not just praying like robots to get up so we can be like the Sadducees and the Pharisees, but we have clocked in and prayed. No, we want results. Okay. The effectual fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much, and we experience the manifestation of results. I got to break down the difference in being fruitful, multiplying, and replenish. God would have just said replenish, or he would have just said multiply, or he would have just said be fruitful. But he said be fruitful, multiply, and replenish. He said all three of them. So it's my responsibility to break that scripture down to you. Come on, put it on your notes. Jot it down. Write it. Make a mental note of it. Be fruitful. Y'all, I got my cats. Y'all pray my cats tan the room up while I'm preaching, okay? Be fruitful, multiply, and replenish, all right? Listen, that word re means do it again. Plenish means to stock up, to furnish. Come on. Come on, let's stock up. Let God fill our barns and fill our storage. Yeah, we got things stored up. God bless you. That's right. He's filling it up. And you know why it's got to be full? Because of we need the overflow. I don't need just enough for me. I don't need just enough to get my own registration. I need to be able to get my registration and 10 and 20 more. God bless me. God bless you so that you can be a blessing. Come on, replenish, refill, restore. You know, restore. We never broke that down. We talk about restore. It means do it again. Restore. Re-up. Come on. Y'all know that from the streets, right? That's what we used to say. I'm going to re-up. You know, re-up on what? On whatever has run out. Come on. Put re-up on the screen. Listen, Isaiah 2 and 6. I'm talking about re-up. And some folk were re-ing up from a negative perspective. Isaiah 2 and 6 says, there were some people who replenished from the east, like the soothsayers and the Philistines, to please themselves as they were dealing with children of strangers. So there is a demonic, or there is a negative, or there is a dark side. They say they replenish from the east. Come on, put your hand on your heart and say, I will not replenish from the east. Come on. You know, the Bible talks about the Midianites and how the Midianites would come to impoverish God's people. And it talked about these demons or these children from the east. Now, the east gate, that's where the glory of God comes from. But everything that God has, the devil has a counterfeit. And we decree and declare that as we are understanding replenishing, that we will not replenish from the east. Come on, say it. I'm not taking any blessing. Any dab won't do me. You know, all money ain't good. All blessings ain't from God. Come on. I'm talking about the blessing of God is different from the devil that will bless you. You got to know the devil is blessing some folk. So that's why we got to understand in not just getting a blessing or getting a gift, but being the blessed. I'm not just blessed. I'm not just blessed. I don't just have blessings. I'm blessed. Let's say it like that. You know, and I don't receive the blessings, right? The stuff, I receive the blessing. Come on, put the blessing, not plural. The blessings. Anybody can have the blessings. The devil can give the blessings, but only God can give the blessing. All right? Without the S. The blessing is for those who serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm going to get in that. Y'all put Isaiah 2 and 6. What about Isaiah 23 and 2? It says, be still, ye inhabitants of the isle, thou who the merchants of Zidon that passed over the sea have replenished. Come on, put replenish on the screen. Isaiah 23 and 2. Replenish. Jeremiah 31 and 25. Jeremiah 31 and 25. It says, God will replenish every sorrowful soul and satiate every weary soul. How many of you know I need more than to be replenished in my pocketbook? I need more than replenishing in my marriage, in my family relationship with my children. I need to be replenished in my soul. Come on, Jeremiah 31 and 25 says God will replenish every sorrowful soul. He will deliver us from the spirit of sorrow or the spirit of being sorry. Come on, he will replenish every sorrowful soul and satiate the weary soul. You know, it's one thing to be tired. And sometimes I get tired, but guess what? My soul is never limp. My soul is standing straight up. I will never be weary in my soul because God is replenishing. And see, if you don't have soul or mind replenishment, so when the cares of this world and the cares of life try to suck everything out of you and take your mental capacity to function, God says, I will satiate your weary soul. I will replenish every sorrowful soul. Come on, replenish my soul, God. In the name of Jesus. Listen, put Ezekiel 27 and 25. Ezekiel 27 and 25. It says, the ships of Tarshish did sing of thee in thy market, and thou wast replenished and made very glorious in the midst of the seas. Thou wast replenished and made very glorious. In them, every time I think about the water and the seas, and the reason you need to be replenished is that God is dealing you from that which go on in the marine kingdom. Water spirits, the queen of the coast. Come on, it ain't hard to figure it out. It ain't deep. When you're talking about the queen of heaven, the queen of hell, God will replenish you in the midst of one of the highest, most highest levels of opposition you could go through. Witchcraft. And opposition from the queen of the coast in the midst of the rivers. How many of you know God wants you to have dominion? He wants you to have dominion. And he said, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish. I'm not going to be here long before you today, but I want to break down the differences of being fruitful, multiplying, and replenishing. Now, you can go ahead and do your own word study. How about that? Being fruitful in the Hebrew, 6509 is the word. 6509 is para, P-A-R-A-H. Go ahead and write that down. Jot that down. For those of you who are listening by radio, you know, I'm a preacher, but I like to teach. And you can't carry everything around in your head. And while we're on Facebook, there's other people that are listening to this message. And we are jotting and we are posting. Because when other people come through, if they miss it, when I say it, they're going to catch it. When my evangelists and my intercessors and my commanders of the morning and my prophets are posting as the Lord lead them. And I go back through all the posts. And if I see something that ought not to be on there, guess what I do? I delete anything that would take somebody in a negative direction. The word fruitful is the Hebrew word 6509. If you're looking in the Hebrew concordance, it's 6509 and it's para, P-A-R-A-H. And it means to flourish. It means to have the ability to reproduce. It means to be successful in the production of fruit from different flavors. Come on, I wonder why that being fruitful is not just about having one kind of fruit. Being fruitful, it means having different flavors, having different kinds of fruit. God is a many-faceted God. God, all colors and all kind of flavors and all kind of people. That's why you can't just be stuck on you, because there's people who not like you, people that don't look like you, don't act like you, don't think like you. And that's why when you're really fruitful, it's a reproduction of different flavors of living fruit. Vegetables, animals, humans. And one of the key words for para is offspring. I'm going to break this down some more because I'm going through it real quick. Come on, offspring. God bless you, Mama Lawson. And then multiply. Come on, say be fruitful. That means being fruitful. We have the ability to reproduce, to flourish, be successful in production and reproduction, and being different, being open to different, not stuck to how it always has been, or how you do it, or how you see it. Being fruitful and having offspring. That word multiply is rabah. Fruitful was para, P-A-R-A-H. The word multiply is rabah, R-A-B-A-H. And it means to become many. Wow, I like that. Rabah, it reminds me of the mustard seed. It means to become great, to become many. Rabbah, it means that you haven't always been where you are. Come on, don't be looking at me like I always been sitting here with thousands of people following me. Rabbah means that you went from one state to another. So being fruitful means having the ability to multiply, but rabbah means that you're going from one state to the other. In other words, I always haven't been here. You got to admit that. Don't pretend that you always had it together. That's why the devil is defeated by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Rabbah. It means to become many, to achieve abundance, to become great and numerous. That was God's original mandate for mankind. Is rabbah. He said, be fruitful. I've given you the ability to reproduce, be successful. And he said, but I'm also saying multiply. You need to go from where you are to where I want you to be. Anything that ain't growing is dying. Come on. You know, there ought to be. And listen, God wants to take us from addition to multiplication. There, listen, two plus, let me give a good number. Okay, 5 plus 5. What's 5 plus 5? Put it up there. 5 plus 5 is 10. But 5 times 5 is 25. Woo! There's a difference in addition and multiplication. And we are shifting in the spirit, in the church, where God was adding to the church daily. But we are in a spiritual set season. Come on, write that down, a spiritual set season, one that can't change, where God is multiplying. You know, it reminds me of the mustard seed, the smallest seed that it could ever be. And that mustard seed has the potential on the inside of it to be the biggest tree in creation. Out of the smallest seed comes the biggest tree. Y'all gonna hear me in a minute. The last is gonna become first, and the first is gonna become last, because in the smallest seed, there's the biggest tree. And once that mustard seed grows up, see that seed used to be eaten up by the birds. But when that seed survives, and when that seed multiplies and gets down in the ground and reproduces and grow into that tree, that great thing of multiplication with those big branches, guess what? That tree has the ability and has the branches to hold up what used to eat it up. Come on. Come on, put that in your notes. I ain't gonna say put that in your pipe and smoke it. I'm not with it. But put that in your notes. That what used to eat me up, I hold up. What used to eat me up, now I have the ability. Dope used to be my thing. The streets used to be my thing. It used to eat me up. But now as a minister, I can hold up and lift up those who are going through what I've been through. Been there, done that. Amen. So we went from para, being fruitful, to rabba. It means to become many in abundance, to become numerous and great. Check this out. Under rabba, under multiplication, it says, I think I probably need to. Thank you. I got this big raggedy Bible. Oh, let me go to Exodus and let me read this. Exodus, the first chapter. I'd rather have this big raggedy Bible than the internet that's changing every day. They change what they feel like they want to change. Hallelujah. Now, I'm reading Exodus, the first, it says, now these are the names of the children of Israel, which came into Egypt. Every man and his household came with Jacob: Reuben, Simon, Levi, and Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Benjamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, and all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls, for Joseph was in Egypt already. And Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation. And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty. And the land was what? Replenished or filled with them. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we are. Can you imagine? He said, the slaves have more power than we have as masters. They are more and mightier. Now, guess what? They weren't in bondage yet, but guess in the spirit, this is what was destined. Prophecy had already went to pass. It says, come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they do what? Multiply. And it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore, they set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Python and Ramses. Here we go. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. The more they were oppressed, the more they were held down, the more they multiplied, the more they flourished, the more they were replenished. Put this on the screen. You need to understand that oppression brings a replenishing. Listen, when you get opposition, it makes you grow. Unless you got something coming up against you, you're going nowhere. You need to have opposition. Even when you work out, some folk want to work out and they want to lift weights with 5 pounds. But 5 pounds is not affecting a change in your life. So God will put 100 pounds of trouble in your way so that it will affect a change in your life. And some of you are wondering, how did I get here? Why am I going through this? Because God is multiplying you. If you see the people with the real testimonies, you see the people that have great achievements, you better listen to their stories. Because they have multiplied. That means that they have come from one place to another. If I was born with a silver spoon in my mouth, if I had it my way, like I was at Burger King all the time, you know, then when I had people, oh, that ain't no testimony, child. You've been there. You've been doing that all. You're like, come on. You can't give God no glory. God wants to do something in your life where people would know that they know that they know that that's a child of the King. Now, wait a minute, excuse me. That's an heir of God. Oh, that got to be a joint heir with Christ. There's no way that he can come from this place to that place. There's no way that she can come from here to there. Come on, say from here to there. That's what the anointing. It's not so much where I am. It's where I come from. It's what I've been through. Been there, done that, replenished. Come on. Been there, done that, replenished. And God is multiplying and replenishing and bringing forth. But it goes in from level to level, to glory to glory. He says, I want you to be fruitful. I'm giving you the ability to reproduce and to produce and reproduce. All right. He said, I'm calling you to have offspring. And then he said, I'm taking you from being fruitful to multiplication. You know, no more addition. Yes, I'm adding, but I'm doubling that thing. I'm bringing fast increase. It's increasing faster than it ever has been before. So I'm going from being fruitful to multiplying to replenish. Come on, put replenish on the screen one more time. That word replenish in the Hebrew is male, however you say it. It means to fill or fulfill. Come on, somebody. Replenish means more than filling up. It means fulfill. There's two words for full and fill. Fulfill. It means to come to pass. We're not just running over. We're not just in the overflow. Come on, somebody. But God, see, because I was already fruitful. I was already multiplying. But God says, I'm replenishing. I'm fulfilling. I'm filling some things up and bring it to the overflow. I don't just need enough for me and my four and no more. I need an overflow. I don't want to just be blessed. I want to be a blessing. Come on, this is a preacher, man. I wish I had a stage and a microphone and a pretty dress on. I'll show y'all something. But I know that this word is something all by itself. Replenish, my God. When the devil thought you were beat down and the devil thought you were gone and more people following you now than ever before, your church is getting bigger than ever before. When the devil tried to shut you down and hold you down, you rose up and replenished. Hey, glory, hallelujah, replenish, melee. It means to fill, to fulfill, to satisfy. It means to finish. Hey, glory, put that exclamation, finish with an exclamation, hey, with an exclamation mark, to finish. That's right, we're going from being fruitful to multiplying. And God gonna replenish. He ain't just filling it up and overflowing, but we gonna finish. He will fulfill that which God has promised. He gonna watch over it and bring it to pass. You ain't gotta keep watching over it. All you gotta do is be fruitful and multiply. And guess what? God says, one plant, one water. God said, but I will bring the increase. I will fulfill that thing. It shall come to pass. You will not be stuck in prophetic limbo. Can somebody please write that down on a piece of paper, put it on the screen, do whatever you want to do with it, but you will not be stuck in prophetic limbo. I call you out of prophetic limbo in the name of Jesus, and I prophesy, and I decree, and I declare, replenish. Not only shall you be fruitful, not only shall you multiply, but you will replenish. Come on, y'all. It's got to mean something to you. It's got to mean something to you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It means to be satisfied. In other words, it's time out for just being saved. And I'm saved. I'm sanctified. No, I'm satisfied. I'm saved, sanctified, and satisfied. If God don't do another thing for me, I'm saved, I'm sanctified, and I'm full. I'm satisfied. You know, I'm not going trying to eat at everybody's house and eat off everybody's table. because God has given me my own. Help me, somebody. I'm satisfied. Listen, there are too many hungry saints. There are too many hungry preachers. There are too many hungry prophets. When you going to be satisfied? Yeah, you saved and sanctified, but when you going to be satisfied? I want to preach to somebody today. I'm trying to teach this message, but this is something you ought to be running around the room shouting about on Sunday, on Facebook, when they're trying to shut the numbers down. But the more you hold my numbers back, the more, how can you get all those folk following you? And we shutting down the numbers. We messing with the algorithms because God is replenishing. The more you hold me down, you fool. The more you hold me down, you silly. The more you hold me down, you crazy, because you making me grow. Come on, somebody, put that on the screen and tell the devil, you making me grow. When they put Joseph in jail, in the pit, come on, they made him grow. When they put him in jail, they made him grow. Listen, oppression makes you grow. It brings forth the spirit of being replenished. Come on, you need to share this with about 5 or 6 people that's holding their head down and they think that they've lost it all. No, no, no. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God will deliver you from them all. And when he deliver you out, you're going to come out with more than what you went in with. When the children of Israel came out of bondage, they came out as billionaires, millionaires. They had no want for nothing. Come on, somebody. You're trying to count your money, but you need to count your favor. They wore shoes that never wore out. They had clothes that never wore out. They had favor that never ran out. Whatever they needed, my God, Jehovah Jireh, shall supply. El Shaddai shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory, not the limitations of my land. When God begins to replenish, oh my God, all the hell got to back up. What is she going through? She replenishing. What are they doing to him? He's replenishing. He's being replenished. God is finishing the work that he begun. He is faithful. Hallelujah. We're going to finish strong. Glory to God. The Bible said you study long, you study wrong, but we're going to finish strong. We're not going to study long and study wrong. We're going to finish strong. Come on, put that exclamation. I'm finishing strong. You can't mess with what God done blessed. Hey, the blessings of the Lord are running me down and taking me over. I am not stuck in prophetic limbo. Somebody better write that down. I'm going to write it down. I'm going to take a note for myself. If you can't write it down, I'm going to write it down for myself. Hallelujah. Too many folk greedy. Stuck in prophetic limbo. No, but God is doing exceedingly and abundantly above all you could ever ask or think or imagine. And guess what? You need to tell the devil, come on, make my day. Because the more you come up against me, you're helping me to build up Holy Ghost resistance. The Bible says resist the devil and he will flee. If you don't, it says submit to God, resist the devil, he will flee. If there's no resistance, the devil is never going to leave you. Come up against him. Come on, you got to have some challenges. If you ain't never gone through nothing, we can't hang out together. Huh? Because I go through and I grow through. Come on, put that in your notes. I go through and I grow through. Thank God. Hallelujah. If you listening by radio, if you listen over the radio airwaves, if you watching on Facebook, I want you to shout right now. And I don't care what you've been through. God said you go through because you grow through. And people, oh, she always going through. No, 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 no. I'm always growing through. Every time you see me, I'm on another level. Just when you left me from dead, God raised me up and took me into a new place. I wish I could preach, T. Burton. D.D. Slaughter, I wish I could preach. And you know what? The devil is in these cats, I'm telling you. Y'all, hold on. Get out. Come on, y'all. We ain't going to be distracted. The devil, the cat's trying to tear the whole room up. Woo! Unless the cat's running around praising him right now. Come on. Somebody. Yeah, devil, you ain't doing nothing but making me grow. Uh-huh. That nasty stuff. You know what I'm saying? You put that mess on me. It wasn't nothing but fertilizer. Huh? You left me in a mess, and your mess fertilized me and made me grow. Come on. Come on. Oh my God, this is a mess. God is fertilizing your situation. And it may seem like a mess. It may smell like a mess. It may not feel good. It may not look good. It may not smell good. But God is fertilizing you. God is bringing growth. He's making your roots strong so that when the winds of life come and you won't be blown to and fro by every wind of doctrine, by everything you see on the television, by everything you hear people saying, you have strong roots and you have a strong finish. My God, I'm gonna finish strong. Hey, glory. Thank you, God. Be fruitful, para, multiply, rabah, and replenish now. Listen. When you're talking about replenishing, I want to talk about several things, three things. Replenish. Come on. See, Elijah, when they were running out, Elijah said, fill every water jar in your house. Come on. What do you have any containers? God can't replenish if you don't have nothing to carry it with. Some folk can't carry the anointing. Some folk can't contain and they can't hold on to the blessing. But God's not going to fill up what you can't hold on to. So they had to get the jars. They had to get the water pots and God began to fill them up. But if you don't have a pot, if you don't have anything to put it in, come on somebody. God is not blessing nothing. He's blessing something. You know, he want to know, can you bring something to the table? Come on somebody. You may not have the water, but do you have the pot to put it in? You know, they used to have a saying, I don't have a pot to do what? But I'm telling you, you got a pot for God to pour into. Whatever the world says, you ain't got a pot. Y'all know that negative term, but I got a pot to pour into. Hallelujah. I have a pot. I have a container. I have a barn. I'm ready to be filled. Are you ready to be filled? Are you ready for the overflow? Are you prepared for what God is doing now? Are you stuck back there, back when and back why? Okay, check this out. And the Bible says that the temple was filled with God's glory. And Jeremiah said, God fills the heaven and the earth. So whether it's the water pot that's being filled with water, or it's the temple being filled with his glory, or God filling the heavens and the earth, how many of you know that there is an outflow? There, I hear the sound of rain, and the latter rain, come on somebody, will be more powerful, and your latter rain will be greater than the former, because God is multiplying. Your latter rain got to be greater than the former, because God is multiplying. He's making you fruitful. He's multiplying and he's replenishing. Hallelujah. Make my day, devil. Make my day. The more they were afflicted and oppressed, the more they rabah. The more they rabah. They increased in volume. They increased in power. They increased in extent. They increased in influence. Come on, somebody. How many of you know you don't have to have a position to have influence? You waiting on man to give you a position for you to be a person of influence? The influencer is on the inside of you. Greater is he that's in you than him that's in the world. Listen, the Holy Spirit is the greatest influencer. Come on. And I got influence not because of a position. I got influence because I got the influencer, the greatest influencer on the inside of me. My God, my God. Proverbs 4:10 says, hear my son and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. Let whoever has an ear right down here to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. It said, hear my son and receive my sayings, and the years of your life shall be many. Come on, put many years, put long life. God is replenishing your soul and multiplying your days. He's not adding days. He's multiplying your days now. Job 33:12. Put it on the screen. Job 33:12 said, behold, in this thou art not just, I will answer thee God is greater than man. God had to, y'all notice God was doing a lot of rebuking and a lot of correcting because people was doing a lot of assuming and insinuating. When Job was going through what he was going through, folk could not understand how could a powerful man who walked with God, the way he walked with God, go through what he went through. So even Job began to say some of the wrong stuff out of his mouth, and God knows he had the wrong friends around him. But God had to send a word back that sent a message. Said that, you know what? It said, even in what you're doing, you're not just. God said, I will answer thee. Huh? I'm greater than man. God's greater than man. And you know, we're talking about enlargement. We've been talking about extending our borders. We're talking about increase and multiplication. Come on, put increase and multiplication. They walk hand in hand. Psalms 44 and 12. Psalms 44 and 12. It says, sell your people cheap and have no increase in your wealth by their sale. Come on, we're talking about false increase. Those who, with the crab spirit, come on, put 44 and 12 on them. Those who sell people cheap, God says, you will have no increase in your wealth by the sale of them. Those who are selling people out, those who are turning people over. Come on, Psalms 44 and 12. That's that false increase. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end of it is death. Psalms 44 and 12 say, keep selling your people cheap, and you're going to have no increase in your wealth from the sale. For every person that did something to you behind the scenes, smiling in your face all the time, trying to take your place, don't you worry about it. If they sold you out, and they sold you out cheap, they will have no increase in their life. There will be no increase to the backstabber. There will be no increase to the backbiter. There will be no increase to the gossiper. There will be no increase to the one that's quick to run to evil. There will be no increase to the one who manufactures wickedness out of their own hearts. There will be no increase to the one who lay on their bed and shoot the arrows that fly, fiery dots that come by night, and the spirits that attack in the midnight hour during the watch of what they call the witching hour. We call it the Holy Ghost hour. There will be no increase in your wealth in the name of Jesus. And guess what? I looked up Rabbah. Come on, put it on your notes one more time. Write down Rabbah. Come on, if you listen to the radio in your car, say Rabbah, R-A-B-A-H. Guess what Rabbah also means? It means to shoot an arrow. Y'all know we've been talking about a spearheading anointing. It means to shoot an arrow, to deliver it to a target. Bam! That's what, my God, that's fruition. Come on, somebody. It's called fruition. To replenish, it means to hit the target. It means to shoot an arrow to deliver to the target. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. That's what replenish. It means to finish. It means to accomplish, to achieve, to break through. Genesis 22 and 17. Genesis 22 and 17 says that in blessing, I will bless thee, and in multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as stars of heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemy. That's a powerful thing. Your seed will possess the gates of your enemy. You're not going to be here forever. There must be a generational legacy. There must be a generational anointing. There must be generational mantles. Joseph said, get my bones out of Egypt. There has to be a generational example. We have to be able to go back to those and draw from the wells of those who have dug up where there was no water, and they dug wells and they made the flow come, not just the flow, but the overflow, so that there could be a replenishing. Come on, we decree and declare that in a time when people say we're going to go through harder, I tell you, all around us, 1,000 will fall to one side and 10,000 to the other, but the church will be replenished, for somehow the church will receive a fresh breath. We bind the spirit of pride, and we release the ruach of God, that we replenish and bring the winds of God, and that will bring revival. Revival, we send the revival winds in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. We bind the enemy of multiplication. And the biggest enemy of multiplication is selling each other out. Because if I sell you out, come on, I'm coming up against myself. We on the same team. We got the same devil trying to take us to the same hell. We trying to get to the same heaven. Come on, we on the same side. What's wrong with you? If you hit me, you messing with your multiplication. You messing with your increase. Come on, love me and replenish. Love me and replenish. Stop shooting arrows at me and shoot arrows at the target. Come on, I'm not the target. I don't have a target on my back. You don't have to backbite me. You don't have to backstab me. Come on, love me and replenish. Come on, love and replenish. Let's connect. Come on, let's do this thing. We're not going to fight each other. We're going to multiply and we're going to replenish. We all going through. Let's grow through. We go through. Let's grow through. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In blessing, I'll bless you. And in multiplying, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven. And as the sand along the beach, and your seed shall possess the gates of your enemy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Let me say this to you. We are blessed. And I was reading I was reading in Genesis 16. Matter of fact, I'm going to read this. I'm going to have to read Genesis, the 16th chapter. Because I think it's the hour. Y'all give me a few more minutes. Y'all know I've been working all night long. I feel like singing one of them songs. Genesis 16, 1 through 12. Say replenish. It says, now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. We're reading through the 12th verse. And Sarai said unto Abraham, behold, now the Lord has restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go into my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abraham hearkened to the voice of Sarai, Abram. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram, and had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan. And gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. And he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judged between me and thee. But Abram said to Sarai, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid. She was, I don't care, she still was Sarai's maid. She hadn't had a baby with Abram, but she still was. He said, Hagar, the angel said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence camest thou and whither would thy go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress, Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said to her, return to thy mistress, and submit thyself unto her hand. And the angel of the Lord said to her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for the multitude. And the angel of the Lord said to her, behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord heard thy affliction, and he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. He shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. Come on, y'all. We still going through right now. We still going through because of what happened between Sarai and her maid, okay? And Hagar. You know, but God, listen to this. God says, I'm going to multiply. Did y'all hear me? This is the mercy of multiplication. Was this the will of God? Come on, somebody. They call it the Ishmael versus the Isaac. But I tell you one thing, it happened. And there is an Ishmael, there is an Isaac. Let me explain to you the difference. But God, the angel met Hagar by the, what did he mean? By the water, by the fountain in the desert. Listen, God provided for Hagar because guess what? That was still Abraham's seed. Listen, it was all about the seed. And this is a multiplication of mercy. God said, I'm still going to multiply your seed because of who the baby daddy is. And whose daddy the daddy is. Come on, somebody. And that's what happened. And the Lord said that I'm going to multiply. And y'all listen to this. He gave Ishmael a gift. But what is the difference? We don't serve the God of Abraham and Ishmael and Jacob. Come on, don't get it twisted. We serve the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. We don't serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Ishmael. No, it's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He gave Ishmael a gift, but the blessing, not blessings, he gave the blessing to Isaac. Come on, y'all. He gave the blessing. Do you want a gift? Many folk come to church and they get gifts. They get blessings. But I want the blessing. I want the inheritance. I'm under the blessing of the seed of Abraham. Come on, somebody. If you don't understand that, I don't understand how you think you're going to be blessed. You got to understand where your spiritual legacy comes through. And guess what? That's what we're leaving for our children's children's children. We're under the blessing, not the blessings. Everybody get one of them. Come on. Everybody can get a gift. You pick and choose. But the blessing comes under the covering. Don't get it twisted. Of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Both of them were sons. One got gift, but the other got the blessing. Hallelujah. And I want to ask you today, do you want a gift or do you want the blessing? The key word is birthright. The Hebrew word for birthright, I want you to put it, come on. I will not give up my spiritual birthright. I'm not going to take light. I'm not going to taunt and mock my birthright. It's what I was born into, not just what I was born to do. But what I was born into, I was born. Listen, have you been born again? I'm a child of the King, an heir of God, and a joint heir with Christ. It's not just what I was born to do. I was born to do. But what were you born into? Have you? Listen, you must be born again. Come on, be replenished. Don't just go to church. You must be born again. The birthright, that word is makar, M-A-K-A-R, makar. It means to make a deal and to exchange. This word, birthright, is the negative. It's the demonic. Y'all know I'm going to give you the dark side. The word birthright, he made an exchange and he sold the right of the firstborn. Whatever his right was, he sold it for a morsel of food. Come on, somebody. That morsel of food represents whatever you would sell out for, whatever you would sell your brother out for. And it's cheap. Come on. In comparison to what you were born into, the devil wants you to makar. He wants you to make a deal. Come on, somebody making a deal. That word makar, you could sell your wisdom, you could sell your truth, or you could sell your soul. I bind the spirit of makar. Come on, that means birthright, soul, and given in the wrong way. M-A-K-A-R. In summary, I'm going to close out. I'm finished, but let me summarize this thing. Let me bring this thing on home. To be fruitful, multiply, and replenish. Parah, rabah, and mel. To be fruitful is a successful production and reproduction, having the ability to yield increase through offspring producing in results. Legacy, leaving something in this earth that exists after you no longer exist in the earth realm. Multiply, rabah, to become many or obtain much, even through oppression and affliction, having the ability to receive. The multiplication of mercy, Even when you got caught up with something that was not the perfect will of God, well, it was the permissive will. God allowed it. But you received the multiplication of mercy in Ishmael circumstances because the Lord heard your affliction. Come on, I don't care if you, listen, if you on the wrong track, don't give up. Turn around and get on the right track. Listen, replenish, male, M-A-L-E. It means if the Lord says in multiplying, the Lord will multiply in numbers that cannot be counted. Because you serve the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, you will not be distracted by gifts, but will obtain the blessing of the Lord, which fulfills, satisfies, and never stops overflowing. As Elijah fills the jars with provision, the Lord will fill his temple and your temple with the glory of his presence. And the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will fill the heavens and the earth on your behalf. It's all about you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. If you're listening by radio, if you're watching by Facebook, if you're listening to a tape, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, listen, everything is for naught. Let's start with salvation. It all starts with salvation. And if you don't know him, if this message stirs you up, and you know that I need more in my life. If you're backslidden, if you're not where you used to be in God, you know what backslidden means? It means you're not going forward. You could be stuck and be backslidden. You know, you could be contemplating selling out somebody else or selling out your birthright. You know, if you say, I will not be a sellout and I will not sell myself cheap. I will not sell my brothers and my sisters cheap. In the name of Jesus, I want you to repeat after me, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Come on, repeat after me. I accept you in my heart as Lord and Savior. Save me, deliver me, and fill me with your precious Holy Spirit. God, I thank you that I serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I thank you that I'm a child of the King, an heir of God, and a joint heir with Christ. God bless you. The Bible says, I know somebody just got saved. The Bible says when one person is converted, when one person's heart is changed, when God bring one person in, because only by the Holy Spirit can you come in, all of heaven rejoice. Come on, rejoice. Hallelujah. Y'all know folks start getting mad when you start talking about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They think it's so natural, but it's really so supernatural. Come on. Come on, I serve the God. Listen, I stand with Israel. How about that? I'm going to always stand with. Guess what? I'm going to look around when stuff going on, and I'm gonna see who's against Israel, and I'm getting on the other side. How about that? How about that? That's what the man of God said. He said, whoever's on the Lord's side, come stand with me. Hallelujah. Israel, listen, it's not about the people that's in charge. I heard somebody, got nothing to do with that. You better know what your spiritual roots are. And you better not come up against Joshua and them. Yeah, that's still Joshua and them and Abraham and them and Isaac and them, you know, and Caleb and them. Okay, they're going to always win. Listen, those I'm not saying everybody right or everybody got it right. Some of them don't even understand. But I tell you what, God still has his people and he don't change his mind. How about that? I bless you, God. I pray for every person under the sound of my voice that's been oppressed, that's been held down, that's been going through. I say you are being multiplied. God is bringing multiplied grace, multiplied favor, hallelujah, and multiplied blessings upon you. Hallelujah. We bind the spirit of Makar. We will not sell our birthright. Hallelujah. I thank you that God chose me before I was formed in my mama's womb. When I did all the mess that I did, he saw me. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit recruited me and used somebody to lay hands on me, cast the devil out of me, get me filled with the Holy Ghost, and I ain't never be the same again. God, I thank you for multiplied grace. Glory to God. Multiplied favor. I thank you for a multiplied anointing. Hallelujah. I have transitioned from addition. And I'm going into multiplication because I've been through something. The more they hold me down, the more I multiply. We're not sitting down. We are moving. We are multiplying. We are growing. Hallelujah. Multiply more, mega more, manifold more. All right. You can go to, y'all know the ways to give. Givelify. You can give on, you can pay your tithe now on Zelle, Z-E-L-L-E. Sign up for Zelle. You can give by Zelle. You can go to KimDanielsMinistries.com. At PayPal, you can go to my post office box. It's listed on the at the beginning of the page when I announce the service. Or you can give at Givelify, Search Spoken Word Ministries in Jacksonville, Florida. There's several of them. I love you guys. I appreciate you. If you're listening at FM 107, Praise FM 107.9, I love you with the love of the Lord. If you want to plant a donation, you're planting in hot, fertile ground. Plant a seed, because we're meeting you here at 6 p.m. every Sunday for 1 hour of power with Apostle Kim Daniel.
From the law offices of Christine A. Michelle Studio, this is Praise 107.9.
W300CU Jacksonville. WKSL HD3 Neptune Beach.
The ultimate gospel experience.
Thank you for joining Truth and Love Ministries, where we exist to connect people to God, to connect people to their God-given purpose, and to connect this church to the community. We would love to hear how God is blessing you as a result of this ministry. Connect with us on Facebook at Truth and Love Jax, or visit us on the web at truthandlove.tv, where you will also find our weekly broadcast. On the go and want to know what's going on at Truth and Love? Simply visit your mobile app store and download the Truth and Love app, and get information on services, events, and even messages right at your fingertips. Tune in now, where the message is already in progress.
For 3 months, they recognized the culture and the climate on which their baby boy was born. And they said, no, I cannot allow you to be exposed to everything because you want to. But now we're living in the day and time the way the children teach the parents. We're living in the day and time the way the children say, I know I was born a boy, but mama, I'm a girl. Amen. Lights. I love the lights. And this is one thing about this pandemic has blessed me with. The lights don't never look at me strange. They're just consistent. That camera never frowned at me. That camera, but I'm glad y'all here though. I appreciate y'all. It's a lot better than just preaching to the camera. Don't let me play with that now. Amen. I am to develop through discipline. That's what good mamas do. Look what Proverbs says. Proverbs 26, 22 and 6. It's still in your Bible. I promise you. Proverbs 22 and 6 says, train up a child. No, train up a child. I don't want to go too fast. I purposely went a little fast because I want to put my weight right here. I want to slow drag right here. The scriptures say to train. What does to train mean? You got to look at the definitions. Just don't be reading. Or just be reading on the surface. To train means to discipline. To develop a person's behavior. Look at this. By instruction and practice. That's what the scripture tells us. It is our responsibility as being parents. And it's Mother's Day, but we're going to talk about the parents in general. This is our responsibility not to allow our children to develop themselves and allow our children just to be able just to act all out and do whatever it is they're doing. Because my mama was mean. If anybody had a mean mama, I would have to classify Rosemary, my mama, a mean mama. My friends used to call my mama the warden. They say, come around the house, let's play the PlayStation. Let's play, y'all remember that? Let's play the Dreamcast. Like, nah, we ain't come around your house. No, we good. We good. Can you come outside? I can't come outside. That's why I'm asking you to come to my house, because she won't let me come outside. My mama told me, don't leave the yard. And our yard was like 2x2. And she said, no. And I'm like a whole 16-year-old. So I'm like, don't leave the yard. And they're right across the street playing basketball. And it's like, what's wrong? Oh, I'm just looking at the yard. Nothing wrong. Everything good. Then we had the audacity. We moved on Prospect Street. We had burglar bars. And my friends were so cold-blooded. That's why I can't stand y'all now. They just going to play on my goal. And I'm looking out the burglar bars in the window. Yeah, they're playing on my goal. But what we do, I be like, how did I get? That's why I started. That's why I got that song from. How did I get life? How did I get? So we don't. My point is, we don't discipline our children because of what we went through, because of what our parents did to us, and all that time. Well, when I be a mama, when I be a daddy, I ain't gonna never. All my life, I had to fight. When I get my kids, I ain't never gonna do them this way because it's a shame I got to clean this bathroom. Everybody here grown. It's a shame I got to clean up my room. It's a shame, Daddy, why you can't take out the trash. The Bible says, Proverbs 22 and 6, give it to me one more again. They don't lie. I told y'all I wasn't going to like this. Come on. Proverbs 22 and 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go. Here it is. Here it is. I got to go. I got more stuff that I can give you. I don't got time to give it all to you. But the scripture says, I am to train them in the way that they should go. I am to train them in God's standards, not even my standards, but God's standards. I'm looking for some good mamas. I'm looking for some good parents that are training their children. We won't have a great falling away when it comes to the house of God. It doesn't matter. I was one of those individuals, and I fell away for a while. I said I had enough church. Anybody other than me had enough church to last me 5 lifetimes. And as soon as I'm old enough to make up my decision, I'm never going back. Look at me right now. Lord have mercy. Y'all ain't going to help me. And here you can say that all you want to. I'm never going to go back. But it's my responsibility to train up my child. And the scripture says in the way that they should go, they may go off. They may lose their mind. They may have a little crazy period. But what you put down on them, it'll be a boomerang anointing. It'll come back again. I'm looking for a mama right now who grown kids losing their mind. I'm looking for a grandparent right now that when you can't tell your child, your grandchild nothing, you ought to pray a boomerang anointing. And when they gonna come right back, oh, I put it in you. I know it's coming back out. Let me get out of here. Let me get out of here. Need a boomerang. Here you go. Do you teach your children about tithing? Yeah. It's hard to teach them about something you don't do. Amen, life. Do you teach your kids about telling the truth? It's hard to teach them about telling the truth when you tell them I ain't here. Boy, you better not. Put that phone down. Sit your little nut behind me. Serving God in your house, is it optional or mandatory? Mm-hmm. So I'm just talking to the good mamas. I'm talking to the good mamas and the good parents. There's a responsibility. God said we ought to train up our children and show them the way to go. We ought to teach them something, not teach them how to duck it. Or we get our phone when they be dancing and stuff. Dancing. Got their phone out. Look at posting on Facebook and YouTube. I do it too. I got a little video see for them. I'm holding it for a good time. Like I got a video here running around. That. I got a little video too. But do you sit them down and teach them something other than whatever the dances are now? That. That was so unrecognizable. They didn't even know what that was. That was a floss. That was called the floss or the whatever it is. I ain't got time to play. I was doing good. I ain't got time to play. Look, I am to teach them life skills. But we shelter our kids. We don't let them do nothing. I'm guilty. I got 3 girls. I'm guilty. I don't be wanting them to lift a finger. But I thank God for the warden I'm married to. Yes, sir. I don't be wanting them to do nothing. But my wife don't play that. They be cleaning and cooking and washing dishes and folding clothes and doing all that. But I'm talking, you got to teach them some life skills. Lord have mercy. And here we ought to teach them these things because here in the world, nobody's going to pacify them. We ought to teach our children. That's why we got a group of millennials and a group of young people right now that go from job to job and don't listen to nobody, have no authority in their life, and no supervisor. They quit every time something don't go their way because we never taught them as a child. We let them do whatever they want to do. But to teach them to think, this is what we ought to teach y'all, to teach them how to think. I don't overprotect. I shouldn't overparent. But no, you think through this yourself. Tell me if you think this. Why was this a good idea? Why do you think it was okay for you to do what you did? We ought to teach them how to think. Well, I'm talking to my good mamas, my good parents. We ought to teach them to work hard. Yes. We model that for them, and we don't apologize for them doing what they need to do. We ought to teach them how to work hard. Lord have mercy. I love this in this book called How to Raise an Adult. Look at this quote. It said, hard work at home leads to promotions in the workplace. Lord have mercy. When you teach them how to work hard in the house, oh, they'll work hard on the job. But when we protect them from everything, oh, they'll never be able to get maximized their full potential. Look what Proverbs 1:8 says. Hear my son, oh, your father's instruction and forsake not your what? Mother's teaching. Look at Proverbs 6 and 20. My son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not what? Your mother's teaching. Oh, Proverbs 6, 21. Bind them on your heart always. Tie them around your neck. Verse 22. When you walk, they will lead you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk with you. Oh, come on here, somebody. Oh, the teachings that my mother instructed me, I can hear her voice now. Oh, like I never heard it before, because she taught me something. And the thing that she poured in me and taught me, it lay down with me, it walked with me, it go with me. Oh, and that's how we ought to do our children. We're doing them a disservice when we don't discipline. Proverbs 23:22 says, listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. This is our responsibility to pour this into our children. We ought to tell them what they ought to do, how they ought to do. They're not supposed to be shaping us. We're supposed to be shaping them. Oh, I heard somebody rightfully say that it's easier to build a child than to repair an adult. Lord have mercy. Let me get out of here. Let me get out of here. Develop through discipline. So let me give you some practical things. When I talk about discipline, I'm not talking about abuse. I'm not talking about because you had a bad day, you come home and take it out on everybody else. I'm not talking about because you and Boo Man not good getting along, and Lil Man look like Boo Man, so you hit him because you're mad at Boo Man. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about discipline. Somebody say discipline. Let me let the Bible talk, because some of y'all, can you share before you go? Because some of y'all think y'all children too wonderful for you to put your hand on them. I don't spank my kids. You're deeper than the Bible. I don't do. I just sit down and I talk to them, and I just tell them what they need to do. I heard a story. A woman was in the store, and the child was just acting up, doing everything, just knocking stuff down, yelling, crying, and screaming. And the mama had the baby, and the mama said, "Calm down, Ellen. Calm down, Ellen. We're almost home, Ellen. We're almost home, Ellen." And all the way through the store, they're doing all kind of crazy stuff. And the mama just kept on going through. "Calm down, Ellen. We're almost home, Ellen." And the cashier, by the time she got to the cashier, said, "I just need to commend you and to thank you for how patient you were with young Ellen." She said, "Nah, boo-boo, I'm Ellen. Come on here. When I get home, I'm going to tell." My name, Ellen. Boy, these new school boy, y'all, these new school parents, y'all don't know about that. We're in time out. Okay, put them in time out. The Bible says, look, let me go. Y'all don't gonna like this. I don't know. Let me get one in, because I don't know if I'm gonna do it. That's all y'all. I don't know if I'm gonna get to it today. I'm not sure, so I'm trying to get one in. The godly parents discipline their children because they know that it reduces foolishness. I'm talking about the godly parents. I'm talking about the good mama. We discipline our children because we know it reduces foolishness. You know it's in the Bible. Look at Proverbs 21:15. Justice is a joy to the godly, but it terrifies evildoers. Luke says, verse 15, Proverbs 22:15. I gave y'all the wrong scripture. It's supposed to be 22:15. That was Proverbs 21:15. But here it is. I gave it to you again in God's word. Luke says, Proverbs 22:15. Foolishness is firmly attached to a child's heart. Spanking will remove it far from them. Y'all not gonna talk to me. I got a sideline preacher here. Come on, y'all gonna. I can't say that because they're gonna say I'm advocating violence. But here, you better tell that little Rumpelstiltskin up. Come on here, it's in the Bible. But no, I'll never put my hand on my kid. And then you wonder why you can't tell them nothing. You wonder why they get 16 and they blowing up at you. You wonder now all of a sudden when they get bigger than you're taller, now they swelling up at you and looking at you like, what you wanna do? You gotta put your hand on that joke. I'm not talking about abuse. Don't you? Don't inbox me. Don't email me. Send all correspondence to Proverbs 20:22. Look, it says, the godly parents discipline their children because they know it rescues them from judgment. Can I talk about discipline for a second? Don't look at Proverbs 23:13. Said, don't fail to discipline your children. The rod of punishment won't kill them. The proverb writer said, when I don't discipline my child, I'm failing them. Verse 14 says, physical discipline may well save them from death. Because if I don't teach them how to obey, if I don't teach them authority, if I don't teach them not to, somebody's going to teach them. Oh, and them boys in blue, or whoever it is in the street, they don't care about that being your baby. The godly parents discipline their children because they know that it helps them receive wisdom. Proverbs 29:15 says, the rod and reproof give wisdom. But a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. The godly parents discipline their children because they know that it helps relieve them from worry. Yeah, it does. Relieve them from some worry. Look at Proverbs 29:17. Discipline your children and they will give you peace of mind and will make you make your heart glad. What does this mean? This means that I don't got to worry about what they doing when I teach them right. When I know I've taught them right. Oh, I heard a story of a little boy. He was riding around the neighborhood around and around and around and around. He was on his bike around and around and around. He was crying and he was mad. Finally, one of the neighbors say, "What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you, little Johnny? What's wrong with you?" He said, "I'm running away from home." He said, "Well, why you just keep going around the block and round and round?" I said, "Because my mama told me not to cross the street." Now let go help me here. Oh, little Johnny, you can get mad all you want to. My mama told me you don't gotta run away, sir. You can walk. Come on here. You don't gotta wait till 2 o'clock in the morning to sneak out. I'll come on, where you wanna go? I'll drop you off. Lord Jesus, is fire. I don't like Proverbs 29:17 said, when you put something in them, discipline your children, they'll give you peace of mind. The godly parent discipline their children because they know that their children are that when I do this, it reflects the character of God. In other words, come on, this is what God does. And a lot of times people cannot identify with God because they didn't have a good example here in the earth. A lot of times people can't identify with Father God or because their father or their parents failed them when it comes the discipline. And so when things don't go your way in life, when somebody die or you get fired or something happen, and or whenever you do something and God to discipline you, all of a sudden now you can't handle it because you were never disciplined as a child. But Hebrews 12:10 said, "For they discipline us all for a short time as it seemed best for them, but he disciplines us, being God, for our good, that we may share in his holiness." In other words, God beats the brakes off of us so we can be who it is that we need to be. But my child won't receive that if I never showed them what discipline is. I'm belaboring the point because the point needs to be belabored. We live in a society of folk who just feel like they just let their kids do whatever, and they'll let their children disrespect the adults. We live in a society that where if nothing about this pandemic should have taught us anything, it should have taught us that your kids' teacher haven't been doing all that lines you thought they were doing. Let me say that again. Let me say that a little better. I could have said that a little better. One thing this pandemic should have taught us, Miss homeschoolers. It should have taught you that all them times you thought, "Not my baby, not my child." Now you like, "That's my child, that's my baby. Will you come get these jokers?" The godly parents discipline their children because they know that discipline reminds them that you love them. Oh, anybody, mama like mine, that say, "I'm doing this because I love you." That's a funny kind of love, mama. Oh, what love got to do with that right there, mama? That's a funny kind of love. Look like you're trying to beat the brakes off me. You're talking about that love. Proverbs 13:24 say, "Whoever spares the rod hates his son. But he who loves him is diligent to discipline them." Again, I'm not talking about abuse. I'm not talking about you letting off some steam. I'm not talking about you having a bad day. But I'm telling you that God is instructing us as parents that I am to train my child in the way that they should go. God is instructing us as parents. Come on. Your plan for parenting cannot be better than God. I don't care what Dr. Spock and Dr. Oz and Steve Harvey, Strawberry Letter say. I don't care what anybody else say. I'm trying to tell